I may be a bit biased about the merits of starting your own podcast. However, that isn't always the right path for most entrepreneurs. And today I'm joined by Jim James. He's an international entrepreneur turned podcast and radio show host, and he's got a 3-book deal with Riley Publishers. Today, we're going to explore what the alternatives to going through the pain and heartache of launching your own podcast, but still leveraging this amazing platform to boost your career, your brand, and your business. So the question is this: how do entrepreneurs like us who don't have an endless supply of cash, how do we leverage the best apps, virtual assistants, automation tools, and systems to scale our businesses, increase our profits, and have more time to do what we love to do each day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Dr. Steve Day, and this is Systemize Your Success. Jim, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show.
Steve, thank you very much for inviting me to come back again. I'm glad that I didn't offend you the first time around with what we talked about on PR. So thank you so much for bringing me on the Systemize Your Success show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Really, really good to have you. Okay, so today, obviously, we've started off with a bit of an intro saying what not to do. So why not do this? Why should entrepreneurs, in your opinion, not start their own podcast? And I'm hoping I'm not going to regret asking that question and regret ever launching this one. But let's hear what you've got to say on the subject.
Steve, I think the reason that most podcasters, most entrepreneurs should not be podcasters is just in the statistics. The average number of shows that get produced is 7. So what it tells us is that of the nearly 4 million podcasts, you know, most of them never get beyond the first 7 or 8 episodes. And that's because people don't have the time. They don't have the network to get the guests. They don't have all the equipment, and they don't have the budget for all the post-production and the amplification, because making a show is only a small part, maybe 10% of actually having a successful show. As you know, in any industry, you know, what you make is only 10%. 90% is the marketing and the sales and distribution. So unless you've got a big budget, and you've got a lot of perseverance, and you've also got sort of an appetite to do this over the long term, it's better to be a guest than to be a host.
There's the little secret coming out then. It's all about being a guest. And I think, having done both, as you know, and anyone listening to this podcast, or many people listening to this podcast will know that this isn't my first one, nor my 7th. We're well into triple figures now, and still going strong and loving it. But everything you've said, I totally, totally understand and know from personal experience is true. The most painful part of launching my podcast, and it took me from conception to launch about 2 years, I'll hold my hands up, and I think I've even discussed this on the podcast in the past, but like just the amount of brain power and thought that went into the logo, the design, the name, the subject, what my first 10 episodes are going to be. And they always say the first 10 are the most important when you're launching. All the rest, the launch itself, like the amount of time and effort that went into actually doing my launch campaign to get into the top 10, you know, charts on iTunes. And then to try to consistently stay in the top 3% of all podcasts globally, which is what we currently are and generally are in that sort of bracket, it is a lot of work. The production, I mean, the recording for me now is pretty easy. I just turn up and turn my mic on and have a chat, or I get someone wonderful like you who does half the hard work for me. But it's that what happens next. It's all that production. And, you know, I've got a person, they're not dedicated full-time, but they probably spend 20 hours a week purely on podcast production and then promoting that podcast as well. And we could do more. We could spend 40 hours easily just on promotion of the podcast. There is countless more things we could do with it. So I get you. I'm just trying to reinforce that, you know, I actually, even though I do this, I love it. It's been brilliant for us, for business, for marketing, all the rest of it. It's so much easier to be a guest.
well, Stephen, you know, you've done a brilliant job with your podcast, and it's a great listen. You give really practical advice, and you also have good guests, so it's great. But you are also in the business of systematizing something that needs to be done, and you have created an amazing process which leaves you very much hands off. You've got the scheduling done by somebody. You've got the show notes being produced and transcribed. You've got someone doing the editing and then putting that out for you. But that's what you also know how to do. You know how to brief people and do that. If you don't know how to do that, then you're quite often trying to figure out the systems, whether it's Calendly or Zoho Bookings or Acuity. You're trying to figure out how to do the transcription if you're not using Otter or using something like Riverside that does automatic transcriptions for you. And then you're sending it to someone and hoping that they will do a good job of editing it and doing clips for you. So there's a whole amount of post-production that takes place. And frankly, many people could make more money by building and selling what they do or by managing their team. So having a podcast is wonderful. I enjoy it too. I've got 850 episodes now, and I've managed to parlay that into three books with Wiley called The Unnoticed Entrepreneur. So I'm obviously a fan, but my background is in public relations and content creation. And I have an amazing network, luckily, around the world. I have 12,500 people on LinkedIn, for example, to call on. But not everybody does. And what I'm here to share is that you can still participate in the benefits of podcasting by being a guest. But you do need to approach that in a slightly different way. And with my background in PR, what I'd love to share with you is some of the things. In fact, there are kind of two or three key things that an entrepreneur or an author or a founder should do when it comes to podcast appearances that people aren't telling them how to do. So I'd love to share that with you. And also at the end, I'm going to give a link to a quiz that people can take for free that will help them to decide whether they should be a guest or a host. So Steve, you and I are host to host, but it's not for everybody. And let's help people to understand how they can use podcasts as a medium when they don't have the time or the appetite to be a host.
Yeah, absolutely. And secretly, what I love about I talk about this all the time. What I love about getting guests like yourself on is, actually, I go out to try and find people like you, is that I have a need in my business for the information that's in your head. And so I find this is a great way to dive in, to get a free consultation almost, and to actually ask all the questions which I would love to ask an expert that would actually maybe help me. And the reason I say that is because even if you've got a podcast, and in some ways even more if you've got a podcast, being brilliant at being a podcast guest is a fabulous way of promoting it, because people listening to podcasts like listening to podcasts. So if you are successful on an interview on someone else's podcast, the chance of that person coming to listen to you is far greater than if you were on a different medium. So it's a fabulous way. I know from personal experience, and I've seen the spikes in some of my episodes when I've gone and been a guest on someone else's show. And so, yeah, I don't want us to make out that just because you got your own podcast, you shouldn't listen to this. So I'm very interested in hearing this.
Great. And Steve, they're not mutually exclusive, right? No. We're not saying they're mutually exclusive, but for most entrepreneurs and founders that maybe are not as comfortable with the tech setup, are not as comfortable with the content production and the hosting, maybe they're not you're an amazing conversationalist, right? And so you can bring people in and you've got an amazing network. So there are some hallmarks, if you like, of a successful podcast host, but you can do both. But what we're here really to think about is for those people that maybe want an on-ramp to maybe being a podcast host later, you can start with guesting, because what guesting does is it gives you a very low risk, low cost way to get into podcasting. You can learn how to set up the microphones and the cameras. You can learn how some of the platforms like Riverside or Squadcast or Restream work, because they all have slightly different interfaces, or Zoom as we're using, without the pressure and the expectation that you're going to then make an episode that then is going to be put onto LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube and all these other places. Because what we haven't said is that if you're a host, getting guests isn't necessarily that easy until your show is established. You're absolutely right that what many people do is they set up a podcast as really kind of a lead magnet. They look at the person they'd like to interview, they interview the person, and they say, hey, and how can we work together? And it's really a glorified conversation, you know, but with recording taking place. And absolutely, I'm as you. I've had over 450 guests give me amazing insights on how to get noticed, right? I've run my own businesses on three continents for 25 years, but I can still learn from these amazing entrepreneurs that come on my show. So it's a wonderful source for that. But all I wanted to just try and share was there are some techniques you can use as a guest that you can use either to complement your own show or to prepare for having your show, or just to consider yourself really as almost a full-time guest and use guesting as the way that you engage with your audiences. Because what you haven't mentioned, Steve, is that when you have your own show, you talk to your own audience, which is good if you've got one. But what you find is that when people have their own show, often it becomes quite repetitive because they're not necessarily able to learn new things as quickly as they're able to produce shows unless they have guests. So one of the key aspects of being a guest is you connect to someone else's audience. I'm delighted to be on your show because you have this amazing audience that won't have heard of Jim James and the Unnoticed Entrepreneur podcast before. So the unspoken part of podcasting is I get an introduction from you as an authority figure in your community. You introduce me as someone that they could listen to and that they might enjoy. One of the statistics that's come out is that 81% of listeners would actually buy a good or service on the recommendation of a podcast host. So if I come on your show and you say, Jim's got a great course on how to be a podcast guest, the chances of people buying that is much higher than any other medium. It's higher than AdWords on Facebook or on LinkedIn or anywhere else. So there's a credibility through that introduction that you get from being a guest. And that's a key anchor point I think everyone hopefully will take away today, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've seen it from people coming towards me and say, I saw you on whatever show, doesn't matter what it was, but that has been a source of genuine leads who have turned into genuine clients in our business. So I can, yeah.
Yeah, this is walking down the street in Sweden, presumably on the ski resorts that you're on. People go, hey, man is Steve Day.
Got my goggles on, so you can't see me.
You're going incognito.
Yeah, totally. And I think one of the things that sprung to mind, you know, with my systems brain in play here is one of the things we talk about when we talk about systems creation for someone who's relatively new to the world of it is don't start trying to, you know, build a Ferrari from day one. You know, go slow, start with the skateboard, build up to the bike, whatever analogy you want to use. And this listening to you talk about guesting has all the ingredients for a great recipe for becoming, if you ever have the inclination to, a brilliant podcast host. But you can dip into all the aspects of actually running a podcast without ever having the commitment and the stress of doing so.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I was thinking, like, one thing we haven't mentioned is just because you're on someone else's show and they're recording it, like I am now with Jim, so I'm able to then, I will be, because it's my show, promoting this to my audience. There's nothing stopping me, unless that's written in any agreement, that Jim can't take this episode and actually promote it to his audience. And actually, for me, it's something we ask all of our guests to do because it helps us get exposure to another audience. So it's actually one of the reasons that as a podcast host, I want to get guests on, because it exposes me to another audience that way. So it's a quid pro quo. And then you can also use that video audio of you interviewing the guest and actually chop that up with the bits that on you are on, or both of you on, up to you, and obviously with the correct permissions, use that for your reels and for your blog posts, and you get the transcriptions and then make bullet points and do summaries and show notes and create content just like it was your own podcast. As long as you're not plagiarizing, as long as you've got the right permissions in place, which are normally very easy and just understand and agreeable, people are agreeable to do it, there's no reason why you can't actually just do everything you would do as a normal podcast host, but as a guest, and therefore build up all your skill set and then build the team around you and then go, right, now I'm ready to launch my podcast.
Exactly, Stephen. Really, you're learning best practice. And you talked there about, for example, content repurposing. And in this course, I've built the podcast guest blueprint course. One of the chapters in there is about how to repurpose content.
Ah, and
how
brilliant.
To, yeah, because my experience as a host is that very few guests know how to use the technology to repurpose the content. So they turn up on a show and they make a few mistakes. One of them is they don't actually leverage the assets that you create or that you provide them. So in this course, I've got a module showing people how to take an MP3 file and put it into Otter, actually, and to get a transcript from the show and then take it into, actually, there are a couple of options, but into Claude or now ChatGPT, and to write a blog, which then can go onto your own site. I have one guest that came on my show, and they made 7 pieces of content from the interview that we did. A lady called Jackie Biebenroth at Muse headquarters in America. So it was a very, very productive 30-minute conversation that she and I had, because she got 7 articles in print, and then she got a lot of clips from video as well. So she didn't have to be the host, as long as she knows how to repurpose the content. And that's really what I want to share, because people think you have to be the host to own the content. And as you've rightly said, you don't, because it's actually in the host's interest that we as guests share that content with our own networks. And that's ultimately how both of us will improve the awareness of our brands and our resources and our shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is a big reason. And just saying this as a host, it's a big reason why you want interviews. Yes, you've mentioned before that it can be tedious, everyone listening to the sound of my monotonous voice.
Not you. I wasn't about you. Yours is golden. No. I love every one of yours.
But openly, like, genuinely so. It's actually, having a guest on for me is just makes, this is an easy week. I've not got to think.
I just have to think of anything.
Turn up and hit record, you know. It gives it more interest, but B, I've lost the train of thought now. Let's move on. I can't actually remember what I was going with that, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, luckily Steve outsources the editing so that he doesn't have to have this one left.
He does, fantastic. Let's chop that whole bit out. No, I very rarely edit much of my episodes, unless something goes completely humdinger wrong, like, I don't know, I fall off my chair or something, which thankfully hasn't happened yet. But I'm quite... I don't even edit out like the ums and ahs as you're hearing now. I decided to be a very honest approach to the way I come across, is about how I try to present myself across social media in general. But that doesn't have to be the way either. And like, literally, if you listen to some people's raw podcast and then you listen to the produced version, worlds apart. But I thought I'd just be who I am. But there you go.
And Steve, I think that's wonderful. But can I just share another one? I mentioned a few mistakes that guests make on shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've talked about the desire to sort of go natural and have an authentic conversation. I also spent the first months of my show on the Hindenburg app trying to gently remove every you know, nearly broke my back in the garden shed. But one of the key aspects of the work I used to do when I ran my public relations firm in Singapore and China was media training. And that is getting people to get to the point quickly, and to be able to articulate a key point in about 2 to 3 minutes tops, and then to stop and wait for the host to start speaking again. And the reason that's important is twofold. One is that the listeners drop off, is a curve, basically. And at the beginning, everyone listens to the show and people are dropping off after about a minute to 2 minutes. And you can see this, especially if you look at the video analysis on YouTube. You can see when people drop off. It's after about a minute and a half, they decide the show's not good. So part of the media training work that I'm doing in the podcast guest blueprint is to get people to the point in the first part of their sentence and the first part of their interview so that the listener wants to stay. So often people put the important part right at the end because they're building up to it. And because people forget that this is a performance, not just a conversation, we need to make it structurally like a performance. So we put the interesting bits at the beginning, and then we build up to it and repeat the climax at the end. So one of the key learnings from today that I'd love people maybe to take away is that if you're a guest, it's great. Steve will have a natural conversation, But the audience is going to be critical if you don't get to the point. So get to the point, and then you might notice I try not to interrupt Steve at all. Even though I want to jump in a social setting, in a bar or a restaurant, he and I would be talking over each other. But in the audio environment, it's very hard for the listener if people are competing for the headset. And to the editors that have to take Steve's show and go, oh, that was a great point, but they were both laughing at the same time, it can really ruin the opportunity to make good clips. So two key things there. One is, and I'm probably breaking my own rule here, be as concise as you can. And the second is to leave the host the opportunity to get their question in full and then come back in with your answer.
I think that's brilliant tips. And I also think, again, being on both sides of this quite a number of times, that, and I listen to podcasts, you know, and so I know the type of podcast that I enjoy. And I actually, if you're listening to a podcast consistently, then the chances are you quite like the host. You also may like the guests, but there's lots of people interviewing the same people. You could probably find them elsewhere. And so if you as the guest, this is what my belief anyway, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. But if you as the guest spend all the time talking and don't stop for breath, and I think I've been guilty of this at times, then as a guest, I mean, and probably as a host as well. But if you do that, then you don't allow the host to guide you on the way that they believe their audience wants you to be guided. And it's their show.
So I think you're absolutely right. I think that the idea that it's the host has the show. And there are different formulas. You know, you can have like an 80-20 where it's 80% guest, 20% host, or you can do a 50-50. It's quite good before you start going on to shows to, A, listen to that show so you can see the format, and even to chat with the host in advance and say, hey, you know, where are we going to go with this conversation? What are some key talking points that you think your audience would like to get from this show? As Steve and I have done in advance, he sent me a briefing note where I've had to fill in what I would like to share, and he's decided how he wants to structure this conversation, because the audience then can get some takeaways. It's a little bit different in consumer, I think, podcasts where it's entertainment, but in information education podcasts, having some structure and having that dialogue between me and you, Steve, is so key. I mean, basically, we're all here for you, Steve. And it's like the Steve show with Jim has kind of squeezed into the mic booth with you. So I think you're absolutely right. People listen for you, and then you kindly bring people like me on into your community, and hopefully you get from me what you think the community might need.
It sounds slightly big-headed when you say it like that. But it's but like Joe Rogan's show is a good example. And I'm not trying to compare myself in podcast terms to either the content or the size of our shows. But, you know, you go to Joe Rogan's show because you like the way he hosts the interviews. Like, you know, that's what you're going for. You know what you're going to get. I'm a big listener of, I've just gone blank when I was saying I listen to a show every single night. Conan O'Brien. Sorry, I just completely went blank for a second. And Conan O'Brien, there's like, you either like it or you don't. He interviews some fantastic people, but if you don't like the format of his show, you're going to go elsewhere. And I am totally imagine it's chalk and cheese with him. And it just makes me giggle and listen to it every night before I go to bed. And I'll go to bed with a smile on my face. But there you go. That's another story. So totally digress. This is one of these moments just for the listener as a host. I'm looking to the notes that we made before and think, have we actually discussed all the things that Jim wants me to? And as I actually know, there are some things that I know Jim wants to talk about and feels he's got something to share on. So if we feel like you've been going for a while, giving your host ahead of schedule some clippets of what you want, or some snippets of what you want to say, allows me as the host to bring it back onto point. So with that said, just a behind the scenes clip there. So one thing that I have tried to improve over the years is the quality of my video and audio. I've got a good mic and all the rest of it. And I've also had, for a time, I was recording my video using Restream, but not realizing the settings weren't on HD. And I actually got this picked up by somebody, and they said, look, for social media, that's super important. So Why is that? And you know, what else do you want to explain around video audio quality, what people should be thinking about it?
There's a very good study by Professor Schwartz, actually, who did a survey amongst physicians. He's from California, and the other academic was in Australia. And they did some research, and they had specialists give research results with good quality about some scientific findings. And they did the same scientists give the same results to a different group with bad audio quality. And you know what they found, Steve, was that the group that listened to the audio, which was poor, didn't view the results as credible. They saw the research, even though it was the same research, they saw in their mind it as being less credible. The audio quality had an impact, a material impact, on the sense of validity, of credibility of this research. The same is true for video, actually. And what people really want to do is they want to look into the eyes of the other person. That's the window of the soul. Yeah, and Steve's given me a nice big wide eye look there. People want to look into the eyes because that's how you get to know that you can trust somebody. Remember, 80% of all communication is nonverbal. And obviously in a podcast, people are only going to have the opportunity to listen to you. So you must have the best quality sound that you can. I just have a very low cost Samsung QTU 80 pound microphone. You don't have to spend a lot of money, but you do need a microphone. With the video, again, you really ideally are using an external webcam, like I'm using the Logitech HD cam. It's only £159 now for these good cameras. But you can also use your phone as a camera now, Steve. I'm sure you know this. Apple released this a couple of years ago. It's called a continuity camera. And if you have an Apple phone after 11, basically it will automatically detect on your Apple device, and it will allow you to use what is the best camera ever, which is the one on your mobile phone. If you're an Android user, you can use an app called Epoch Cam, which comes from a company called Elgato that does great mics and lights as well. And that's just some software. It costs $7 at today's pricing. And that will turn your Android phone into a webcam. And if you're using an Apple phone with a Windows machine, struggle to say Windows, I haven't used one for a long time, with a Windows machine, you can create the continuity camera effect by using the Epoch Cam software on your iPhone and on your Windows desktop, because otherwise they don't work. So the camera inside of your computer has a couple of problems. One is it's only a tiny lens, and it doesn't have the range, and it doesn't have the ability to pick up as much light as a dedicated camera. But the other problem is that your laptop is often down low, so people end up looking down, and that's not a great way to have a relationship, because you're literally looking down on the host. You and I are looking right into each other. I've got the Elgato teleprompter. I've got a teleprompter as well, maybe, because you're looking right at me as well, which is fantastic.
No, I don't, in fact. I never use them. I just make it up as I go along.
Okay, or he just looks into the camera. But these are important, because the content that you and I create recording needs to go, and it will degrade as it's reprocessed, right? So it'll go up to an MP3 file onto the players like Buzzsprout and into the Spotify or the Apple Music. And then the video will then get degraded as you go to either Restream or onto YouTube or wherever else. So you have to start with the best possible quality, but also where, as I mentioned, you are close to the mic, which is a good one, an external one, and where you're looking as close into the camera as you possibly can. These are all, if you like, items that I've picked up over the last 3 years of doing over 450 interviews and then my media training days. And these are all the different pieces of advice and tools and tips that I put into the podcast guest blueprint course, Steve, because to learn this stuff one by one, you have to go across the internet to Reddit, to YouTube, and so on. And there isn't really a place yet where it's all easy to find and easy to access. So I spent the last 4 or 5 months collating this and curating it and putting it into a sequence for people. And there's one more thing, Steve, which I'm going to let you get back to being host, but there is one other aspect that guests really need to think about, which is how to create listeners into leads. But I come back to you after that kind of long piece about the tech and why it's important.
No, fabulous. That's my next question. Genuinely so. That's where I wanted to go before we run out of time. So let's just, I'm going to pass it back to you. How do we as guests maximize the opportunity? Because ultimately, if most people listen to the show is going to be business owners and they're trying to grow and scale their businesses, they're not just going on there for a nice chat and, you know, a cup of tea most of the time. So how do we actually maximize the opportunity of when you've fixed, you know, you secured a place on a show, great, but you can show up and make no impact, or you can show up and walk away with a new client list. How do we do it?
Steve, I actually brought my own tea. So thank you for the time to have tea together. The key really, Steve, is to think as if this was any environment where you're meeting people for the first time, whether it's a business meeting or a conference or exhibition, you would give these people a reason to connect with you. You would give them a call to action, to give them some kind of an incentive to follow up with you. There are a couple of really simple ones. First one can be a quiz, for example. So I had a guest on my show called Oscar Trimboli, or Trimboli, as he calls himself. He's actually in Australia, but he has an Italian surname. Oscar has what he calls the Four Villains of Listening quiz on his website. He has had over 31,000 people take that quiz. And he's done a lot of that through being on podcasts like mine. So I have a podcast quiz, which I'm going to give a link to at the end, where people can come to my website and take a quiz on some of the steps that they can take to be golden podcast guests, if you like. So a quiz is the first one, and you can use a tool like Score App, for example, Daniel Priestley's Score App platform, but you can also use Typeform and others as well. The second is, for example, a free download. So I've had guests on my show that are offering either a whole book, for example, a free download for a book, a free load for a chapter, a free consultation, a free workbook of some kind. There has to be a reason for someone to go to your website and give you their email address. So whether it's a quiz, whether it's a book or a download or access to some gated content or a free consultancy. So that needs to be pitched, by the way, at the beginning of the interview. Like I said at the beginning, we're going to give something away at the end. Ideally, somewhere in the middle, you're referencing it. And also towards the end, you're referencing it for people. So give people a reason. It's not enough, as handsome and smart and funny as you are, Steve. If I have you on my show, it's great. But I need for you to give me a reason. I need you to give me a place to go where I can get something from you that connects me to you directly after the show.
Fabulous. And I was actually wondering if you're going to acknowledge the fact that you'd done that very well throughout this. And I wasn't surprised that you had done, but I've actually been making notes about some things that you'd been doing that I thought particularly well. A, you introduced the lead magnet at the beginning rather than waiting for me like some guests do. And I know I have been on shows in the past, waiting for the host to ask at the end. And so if people want to connect with you, what's the best way, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, by the way, because you said at the beginning, by that point, 90% of the listeners have dropped off. As soon as people hear the episode drawing to a close, most people will just switch it off because they've got the meat of it. And they think, oh, so they're just going to try and sell me something at the end, if anything. So we've got to get that in early. And it's got to be, like you say, something that somebody wants. And therefore, well, actually, I'll stick around to the end just to find out how I get that thing. So I think you've did that brilliantly. And you know, I'm speaking to the trainer and the coach here. I'm just sort of acknowledging these things to really to make people aware. And that's not what I'm not trying to give you lessons on this. The other thing I thought that you've done brilliantly based on your own teachings is to drop the name of what you do or a product, or explain to people what other value they can get from you beyond maybe that lead magnet, but do it very naturally and without trying to sell anything. And I think that was done. I noticed you did that really elegantly throughout, and just dropped it in there. This is, you know, well, this course I've got, or this is how I help you, whatever it is. And I think that, I believe listening to it really on this particular episode, I've been actually really listening out for this stuff to see how you did it. And for me as a listener, I felt that not only let me know a little bit more about what you actually are about, because it's quite hard to get that sometimes in an interview without sounding like you're just selling at somebody, but also it actually built a level of more trust and authority. Because I'm realizing, oh, it's not just about the freebie. This person actually has more to say and more to offer. That was the authority, but also then the trust as well, because it's being said in this very casual environment, it doesn't make me think that I'm pressured into this, so I can then make my own judgment if I want to find out more. And so I thought that was brilliant. And I want to actually, you know, as I said, I'm not saying this now for gym's sake. I'm saying this now because as a listener listening out for this stuff, those are the key things that I picked up that I thought were brilliant. And I'm going to, from nothing else to just doing this interview, let alone actually, now I've got access to Jim's course, actually go and have a look at it properly. That I've taken away a lot just by watching a master at work. So it's been brilliant.
Steve, there's one thing that I could perhaps say, well, two things. First of all, thank you very much for the comment. And I think that the technique that I've been using is called bridging. So what I'd like to just share with you, I know we're nearly out of time, is we're trying to have a conversation, but we have to remember that the audience is listening for some solutions. Because in B2B, we're looking at listening to podcasts because we want an answer to something. So there's one school of thought that says, oh, you mustn't go to a podcast and sell something. My view is if it's, you know, a Disney channel, absolutely. But in a B2B podcast, the listeners are trying to get ahead in some way. You almost have a duty to share with the audience what they can get from learning and listening to you. Bridging technique, which I talk about in this podcast guest blueprint course, bridging is where you take someone's question and you take the elements of that question, but then you blend that with your answer. So you take maybe some key words or a key theme that someone has in their question. You include those words or theme in your answer at the beginning. And then it's a graduated transition to your own story. So I have here, for example, in my notes, I have a key takeaway that I'd like everyone to have. I have a content and I have three stories. And each story has a point, and each point has a story. And then I have a call to action. So I've written down in advance of my conversation with Steve, which hopefully doesn't feel stilted or unnatural, kind of where I would like to let Steve lead me, but also to make sure that you as the listener get the value that I'm here to provide you with. So that's a technique that is taught in media training. And really, I'm really trying to help people that are not getting this kind of training normally to get access to the kind of training that politicians and CEOs in big companies get, Steve. So thank you for the kind words. And I hope that I've been able to kind of display how being a guest on a show can be really valuable. Being a host is valuable, and you're a great host as well. But you can be a guest and have some rewards from doing that and give service to the listeners.
Yeah, brilliant. I think that you've put into words very elegantly something that I think a lot of marketeers try to explain. And I know for years I thought, well, of course they're going to say that because they're marketeers and they're just selling me on their marketing training. And that point is that when it's almost a, if you've got something good to sell to somebody, it's got something of value to sell to somebody and they need it, they have a genuine need and you are genuinely can help them, then it's your duty to actually sell them on that thing, because then they will get the value, etc., etc. And that's one way of saying, I've heard that say many, many times before, but I think what you said really nicely there was, when someone listens to a podcast, they're not doing it, except for like me listening to Conan O'Brien before I go to bed, I'm just listening to it because it's funny. So that's the what I want from it. If he wasn't funny, I wouldn't listen to it. So if he doesn't serve me in the way I want to be served, I'm not ever going to listen to that podcast again. But similarly with a business podcast, exactly what you said. It's like people come to that podcast to solve a problem. And if I can solve it in a, you know, if I have a chat for 10, 15 minutes and talk about some solutions to a problem that I found, then great. You can walk away, hopefully, and you're a little bit smarter about that thing. That's fantastic. But actually, in this example here, great. Hopefully, people have learned some really valuable snippets and tricks and just mindset shifts about being a guest on a podcast that I think are, you know, I'm genuinely going to walk away a more confident person being on guests and with more idea of what I've actually got to do when I show up because of being on this podcast. So, you know, it's been fabulous. But also, if I actually now think, you know what, I really, really want to nail this. If I didn't know that that's what you do as an actual service, if I didn't have an opportunity to go, you know what, I'm actually really, this is my focus for the year. I want to, you know, grow my audience, and the way I'm going to do it is through podcast guests. If I didn't know that you were able to help me and you hadn't specifically told me, because don't assume someone will just assume, like, guess that from the fact you're sitting talking about the subject. You know, I could go elsewhere and do a Google search and say, oh, Jim's got some great ideas. I really need to get some training on this. I'll go and do a Google search and find out where I can get some, rather than going the obvious route when you say it out loud. But unless you tell people, like, they won't know, is Jim has got lots of information on this and he can help me to do this more if I want some more information. So I think that is one of those key lessons that I've taken away from this. And it's sort of one I've I guess been answering in my own head for many years now, but it's you've got to tell people how you can help them in explicit terms. Don't let them try and figure it out, because if they're not interested, you're not going to offend them. They're just not going to come towards you. But if they are, then they now know you can help them. So I think you did that brilliantly.
Thank you very much. Well, and you've articulated that wonderfully at the end, Steve, as you always do. So, you're a wonderful guest and a wonderful host. So you're great both sides. And I'm glad that what I've shared has given maybe some theory around it as well, because you do it naturally anyway. You've got a wonderful charisma about you. So if some of the theory helps to give you more room to grow into being a better podcast guest, you can see now why at the beginning I was saying, let's help people to understand being a guest is a great on-ramp to becoming a host. And for many people, being a guest is sufficient for their business needs and lets them get on with running a business while still using podcasting as a medium to generate leads.
Fantastic. On that note, we will draw this to a close. But before we do, I do have a couple of questions I have to ask you. You may have been preempted to these. I hope that you hope you have been. One thing, you've already mentioned quite a few apps here, so I'm probably going to skip the app one, but you can just recap the apps you mentioned that were really useful for this. So Otter was one, and there's a couple of others that you've mentioned.
Yeah, so Otter for transcriptions, and then for your camera, you can use Epoch Cam, okay? And then for doing video clips, you can use Riverside. You can also use Restream.io. And I also mentioned ChatGPT, of course, but also another one is Claude for writing that as well. And I have these all listed on my website, actually, Steve, as well. So if people want to go to jimajames.com, they can find the quiz and also link to the podcast. And the podcast has a whole section on useful apps.
Fantastic. So that's jimajames.com.
Correct.
Superb. And I know I've asked this question before, but I'm interested to know if anything's changed, because this isn't your first time on this show. The title of this podcast is Systemize Your Success. But what does success mean to you, Jim?
Success is that I can have brilliant conversations with people I like and respect, like you, Steve, that we've got the time and the opportunity to learn from smart guys like you. That's really success. That before we came here, I was able to take my daughters to school, which I've done every day of their lives, and then take my dog for a walk so I can stay healthy. And that we can then help and serve others through what we've learned by having podcasts, for example, and the books. So success for me really is the ability to have some freedom and some good health, look after my family, and then also to share and be in service to others where I know I can help.
Fantastic. Wonderful answer. Jim, it's been an absolute pleasure. I always love having you on the show, and I know this won't be the last time. So I look forward to when we next meet on this medium or any other medium for that matter. Cheers, Jim.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. See you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining me and listening to this episode. I'm well aware there are hundreds of great business podcasts out there, and you chose to listen to this one, and for that I am truly grateful. Hopefully what you heard today took you one step closer to building a successful business so you can share your passion with the world and serve an ever-growing number of people. If you got value out of today's episode, then so will someone else you know. By sharing with others what has helped you along your way, you will grow your influence and be the guy or girl that everybody wants to know. So please hit the share button right now, and also remember to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss future episodes. It's impossible for me to cover absolutely everything in these podcasts, so please do head over to systemizeyoursuccess.com right now and download the show notes, transcriptions, and some of my best frameworks and systems for free. Thanks again for tuning in and being a part of this amazing community. Until next time, this is Dr. Steve Day, and you've been listening to Systemize Your Success.